This is November the 23rd, 1992. We're gathered on a Sunday afternoon to meet with the commander. Greetings, Commander.
Thank you. Thank you in the light of Holy God. Heavy times seem to bring heavy hearts. I want your hearts to rejoice. You are getting to experience now what the long ages of prophecies are finally once again revealing to you. It gets harder and harder to lie to you. I would say before we go any further that I would like to express my appreciation. I purposely did not make appearance because my scribe was completely distressed and needed to experience her own consciousness, because what was happening during this week regarding the property needed full attention in the consciousness and not just dependent upon my guidance. I believe any of you going back into the details will realize that we had a great hand in it. Even at the moment that it seems we're very distant, you have to understand that we don't work by literally zapping ones or physically transporting you somewhere. Is that possible? Of course, with all things are possible when you're dealing with God. And even if you're not dealing with God, yes, we can do it. But that doesn't help you. That does not finalize and solve the problem, not even temporarily. And certainly, you must stop trying to analyze what the lessons might be for all involved out of any one incident. I will tell you this, that you have FEMA after you. This is not a little U.S. Marshals operation, although the U.S. Marshals teams were in place all around that property. You were never out of surveillance, and there were at least 25 of them. Now, I'm talking about armed troops, trained teams. And you were under surveillance, of course, all week, to see what you would do. But you see, you can depend on evil wearing a clue. And they just did a stupid, stupid thing when it went wrong. And it was too late. Horn realized this, and so did Gordon after Horn pointed it out, that the pressure was coming down from very, very high. But you're going to have to find that out in documented form. So I'm not going to go spiel a bunch of stuff to you. But you were under attack just as hard as was Weaver. The numbers who rallied and came to the property prevented an incident. They could not afford an incident because they know that you have no weapons, and to do anything would require a massive incident. So by your very presence, you prevented a terrible thing happening in your own community. And by their own stupidity, they pulled the shade down or the curtain down and forced the issue on a Thursday, at which point bankruptcy was ready to have been filed and these ones dressed to go to Fresno to file those papers on Tuesday. But just for Dorma, just for Doris. They hadn't counted on that. They waited, and I'm sure that all of you who were present know the story. The agent not only was surveilling, but he pulled up as these ones pulled out of the driveway at 5 o'clock in the morning. And when Oberle did not get into the car, they were really in a pickle. Because, you see, all ones in the dwelling, they could have just required by law to move out, that you would have been obstructing justice. Funny term, isn't it? So their plans went awry. When these ones got into Fresno, the foolish lady at the desk gave them the wrong set of instructions. So by the time they had their papers finally ready to serve, and they are now evening up, you know, how you tap the papers, all seven copies, to file with the clerk, they had arranged for a fax to shut down the house and repost the notice, because they had originally served a faulty notice. They were told about that. The commander of the sheriff's department out here recognized it, said he knew that, he would repost it. So the bankruptcy was called off on Tuesday, only to find that the feds came down very hard and said, you will not honor that agreement. So this required that the sheriffs break their word and their agreement, because obviously the feds have more power than does sovereign citizens. But they were truly caught in the middle. So it goes on, but you see, it was only shut down because the lawyers then were in touch with the commander again at the sheriff's department and said, you know that we are going to bring action against you because you broke that agreement, and now you have gone farther than that. You have forced us into bankruptcy. When you knew and you know that there is an action, a writ pending, which could have been filed on Thursday, except that you had made an agreement to allow us to file that on Monday instead. Well, then it really got hot and heavy.
Something got hot and heavy.
Do we still? We don't have sound either. Do we? Do we have?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Just shut it down for a few minutes.
Don't let it blow its circuits.
Somebody's doing that.
Yes.
DJ, is the other mic off?
Yeah, it's off on the... They're off.
Do you want to run the risk, or do you want to... You wouldn't have a lot of interference this whole meeting. They don't want you. They don't want you having the information we're going to bring today. Are we on again?
Yes, we're on.
All right. Can you hear? Am I coming through?
Yes.
Well, please speak up if this goes dead or something, because I get busy, and of course she's not paying any attention to anything. It's time she had a little break. It has been an incredible week. Well, the facts are now everything is left in limbo, but at least they did, and no one made a move in Fresno until literally it was all cleared and agreements were made on paper, and then they did come and repost the property, which gives plenty of time for these other actions. But I will make a statement here, EJ, that you must require that they honor. So much is coming down, or can come down, or is the probability of coming down between now and the end of the week, that I want that writ filed on Monday. I don't want any more dinking around with it. I don't want any more of these games. When I give you advice, I expect it to be followed by those attorneys. That is as close as I ever intend for you ones to get to this kind of a situation. They want the word to stop going out. I will not tolerate it. And this sort of foolishness and breaking of agreements, I don't know what is required of you ones to understand that agreements aren't going to be kept. You're in a world of lies. And the best liar always wins in those courtrooms. And minutes make the difference. 2 minutes made the difference in having to use our trump card when we could save it. And that took a lot of arranging, and that poor lady didn't know what hit her. She was giving instructions for the wrong type of bankruptcy, and it took that whole period of time for anyone to discover it. These are the flukes that God arranges. We're not going to get our Uzi machine guns and blast everybody out for you. And if you don't use these tools, that's your problem. God provides the answer when you ask. And if you choose not to listen, then that's your problem, and you're stuck with it. You will live through it, or you won't live through it. Either way. But I'm tired of everybody being angry at God, denying God for something God provided, and you just were too stupid to see it. And there's a great mission here at stake, and a lot of lessons for one's individuals to receive. And we can only create in positive measure what we're willing to put into it. And some are going to have to separate from this confounded idea that I've got to have money or I'm not going to do my job. And that's where we're getting to with an attorney or two. I want my money up front because I don't know how this may turn out. And they're kind of ticked off at me. You better believe it. God never leaves anybody wanting. And I'll tell you, the ones that have worked on this case have been well, well tended. And we're not through tending them. But this is, I expect to be the last of this kind of thing. This does not mean that you are through. I told you in the beginning I would take care of it. I also told you many things, that it would make it to the public in the press, and there it would be tried, and yet they will not even let you get to a hearing. And this was why the magnificent push, because it's going to blow the cover off their little operation to have a jury trial. And once they could get you out of that house, they would have the power. And the judges would have the reason to keep ruling against you blatantly. That's as close as I expect it to get legally. It's one thing to have to vacate if that becomes necessary. It's another thing to have to vacate because somebody didn't do their job. For the rest of this little few minutes before we get into the subject of today, I would like to welcome you ones who come. I'd like to welcome the family that's already here and is always present. I would have a couple of requests. One is, Patricia, would you please locate Rennick's manuscript book, whatever. I need that. We will have some information from Ray. I have to ask all of you to balance all the information that I'm bringing you about Greitz and Rennick and the San Luis Obispo connection and all of these other patriot groups. Balance everything in reason, logic, and non-judgment. Remember, judge in action, not a man. You don't know their contract. You don't know what's going on behind whatever is happening. On the other hand, all of you are going to have to face facts. You can't live in a dream world. I believe you'll find, what is it, today, tomorrow? It's today, isn't it, that Mr. Kennedy was assassinated? Well, that's always going to keep churning around. But in a sense, it's all part of the overall story of denial and acceptance of truth. These are the clues that you use, because they're the clues that I use when a man gets up to speak. If he is spouting off a story when I know he knows both versions, and he gives you the wrong one as the gospel truth, then there's something wrong, or there's massive, massive planning underway. You must deal with what you have to deal with. Don't worry about, for instance, what Bo Greitz is doing. You worry about what you need to be doing, and you'll stay out of trouble, and you'll be prepared, and we'll get this transition through. But anyway, Ray said that he had left a document. I don't know. I believe whoever it was to be passed around, so I would just appreciate having it back this direction. He wanted some confirmations, etc., of a few of the writings, and I just haven't had time to give it thought. For you ones, we're greatly honored today. Ones of you who have been finding great spiritual comfort in the writings of Ken Koons that we have so graciously accepted. I guess he's graciously given, and we have humbly accepted, is a better way to word this. You can't have all bad news. I'll tell you something else. You can't live on spirit alone. Life has to be balanced. And you have to come into understanding of what beauty there is in every situation and what glory there can be in each experience. And it's through the poet's work that come the great insights into the soul. And we've been offering you a lot of Ken's work lately, because you need that boost, and you need it from this level of input. And Ken is with us, and I wish to acknowledge him and thank him for sharing. It has been blessed for all ones receiving. And maybe each of you could speak with him after the meeting.
Please stand so we can all know you.
Well, maybe. You see, you precious ones who give and understand the gift and from whence comes this gift are very humble. And it's embarrassing rather than a pleasure to get up and beat your chest. And we thank you for that, too. You're getting some wondrous lessons now coming from other ones besides me. This is both a relief of pressure on the scribe, especially as things come down and the messages get harder. I can more well balance the things I must give you, because you are getting spiritual input and balance and sustaining support from other ones, from the energy giving you back now from the Old Testament days in current, modern, fundamental support. Moses, Sananda, your Jesus. Don't get hung up on these names. We've had to sort them, and we've had to go back into detail so that you can understand how you got here today with all these misperceptions. And it's going to continue that way, that you must have this information. Even as you decipher and Nostradamus' prophecies come to you, and Revelation's prophecies are opened into your understanding. If you don't know the players and you don't know the history and you don't know what is, you cannot relate. When we talk about New York, if you don't know that that is the number one Khazarian capital of the world, that will make the proper relative sense to you what we're going to give you today. We're even giving you Nostradamus through two sources. I'm not interested in all those invalid ones, Cheatham and all these other nitwits, who come forth and give you a bunch of bleary-eyed nonsense. There have been some excellent portrayals, excellent decipherings of Nostradamus' work. But now those are being unraveled from higher source for your attention. And this is another expression of it. Accept it for that which it is. I'm not going to give you the answers. You are now students, studied enough to be able to decipher these things for self. If you cannot do it, then I suggest, students, you get busy because you're out of time. And I'm not going to have time to catch everyone up. I'm going to not be specific as to things going on in certain places that I know are on the minds of many of you, especially as typhoons, hurricanes go across the Pacific and dance around a lot. I will ask that we not specifically speak of several things today, one of them being the Philippines, and I know that that is high on the list of several, not the least of which is RJ. And RJ likes to ask questions. And know that we are now, it is so tedious, it is so dangerous for my scribe to know these things in her consciousness that I have to ask you to hold that uppermost in mind. Curiosity may kill the cat. It will also kill my scribe. And so I have to use that kind of wisdom and request that you temper your questions, or at least don't be mad at me if I refuse to answer. That you are at massive, massive happenings in the economy. It's great this day. And I think what I'll ask is that EJ just read today's writing. Let's get a few things out on the table and then we can talk about it a little bit. I'm not going to talk greatly about the prophecies that are being unfolded here because I am quoting and I want you to think about it. I would rather we look at some of the things happening around than try to get into details because you're curious about whether or not it will really happen on the 26th or the 29th or the 14th of December. Just know, one hell of a lot of stuff has to come down before the 14th of December. When what happens? Your president is elected. You have not elected anybody. The Electoral College meets on the 14th. And I'm telling you, the plans are that there will not be enough alive electoral votes or voters to elect Clinton. You'll be in a state of emergency if everything comes down, and New York will be gone. Now, why would New York be gone? Why would they choose New York? Because it is the seat of the United Nations, which is the blue turban. It will be the second phase of the mother of all wars, because of two things. The United Nations building is there, and it is the head of the Khazarian nations, the Jewish imprint. And Saddam will strike there first. Now, you've had a missile running around out there, or 25 missiles, or however many. It was supposed to come down on Friday. Where has it been? And now they're going to haul it off into Washington State so that you can celebrate Thanksgiving around it. Oh, my precious ones. My goodness gracious, where are you? And I think I'll just go ahead, Oberly, and let's have it.
Yes, now that you've stolen the whole show, I'll fill in the blanks.
Well, That's one for me.
Well, it's really...
It was payoff time to Dormer for all those nasty things you teased her about.
That was really two.
Well, now I'm getting to three.
How's our volume back there? I dated the tape wrong. Eleanor corrected me. This is the 22nd, it says. November the 22nd. Herein Nostradamus. But I think later. Herein I have an immediate press release by N.C. These beloved brothers do not object to use of their names, but I do. All are under constant surveillance, and for now, we need to continue protection of their general identity. As you read further in this paper, you will find others have agreed to use their names as protection by mass recognition of their identity. It is harder to blatantly kill someone who is expected to be suicided. You are going to be further disappointed in someone whom you felt were super patriots, etc. However, Chilas, do not judge. I say this as reminder. For you know not another's contract, nor even what he, she may be doing to shroud magnificent patriotism and brotherhood. Death for a cause is not particularly heroic. Living and working for a cause is that which becomes magnificent. You will not be given, often, to know the difference, for you will not have facts. Note further that this paper is very often the only mode of transmission of instructions and communication to various ones of which you are unaware. Read well, glean that which you can, balance information, and realize that as we move deeper into the funnel's neck, it becomes all but impossible to keep my own people alive. I shall not jeopardize my people for anyone's curiosity. If you are a studied reader and student, Chila, of the information we bring, you are patient in the unfolding, realizing the dangers involved, and if you are not, I suggest you get informed prior to lashing out at our work. Mine is not to wipe your individual noses, for you are quite capable of doing that for self, if you don't want it running all upon your face. If you wish to share this mission and journey with us, wonderful. But we are not here as entertainers of James Bonding, and you are in dire, dire trouble. Destroyer Feds. Think not that God has forsaken lambs, for he works in most mysterious ways. Note that by unity and nonviolence, a major military action was averted relative to Eckers. The enemy, Feds, in their stupid haste to cause power plays from the highest government levels, working through the local injustice system, blew it. Not only breaking agreements, but actually surrounding this property by some 25 armed SWAT team troops awaiting final move-in and take orders. But forcing the issue on Thursday, they stupidly gave opportunity to do something on Friday prior to the weekend, through which they could have forced the issue. If you listen to guidance and act accordingly, you shall have a far better chance at winning. I will discuss this at this afternoon's meeting, as it is still too painful for Dharma to write about at this moment. For you readers, if we do not make it into this paper with the details which you should know for your own reference in similar circumstances, for it will be many of you as time moves along here, then we shall cover it in the next issue. Banks and missiles. The Feds under Bush are frantic in how to pull off the bank closure. The emergency regulations must be brought into play, or the controllers via that element cannot hold power. It doesn't really matter which puppet is in the throne room, but it does matter as to how smoothly power can be maintained in your blindness. Now for the Nostradamus reference. Do I believe that Saddam holds the role as will be projected herein? It matters not one iota, because it is the rest of the possibilities which might focus your attention. Russian missile to land today. Oh, what happened to it on Friday? Further, why did the U.S. launch, quote, a first-time scout rocket with Misty missile head on Friday instead of bringing in the Russian missile? This holds a serious connection. Your government release said this missile of yours is a part of the SDI system, of which you have none. They further said it would shoot down incoming enemy missiles. It didn't. And the Russians announced today that the A missile will splash down today, be picked up off Washington State, put aboard a Russian vessel, and be brought into Seattle for Thanksgiving celebration. This right after having the Russians spawn deadly tornadoes across the U.S. and planning to all but wipe out Guam, which holds some of your most necessary and essential tracking equipment in the Pacific, by typhoon. Will the banks close on Monday? God, Chiles, you have such other problems unbeknownst to you that banking falls into a minus zero importance. But note that today, on a weekend, the EC, that's the European Community, has made massive sweeping changes in a couple of its states' currency and devalued by over 6%. Further, the EC trade agreements are causing riots in Europe. The global currency, still called the EC currency in Europe, has already wiped out usage for all practical purposes of the British pound and a couple of other measuring currencies. The Hong Kong gold market yesterday, while the other gold price fixing houses in London were closed, radically shot the price of gold up by over $9 an ounce. London still controls Hong Kong, brothers. So this is a major sign. Moreover, the information being given to you through the fixed media is all false. If you can get a slip through from, say, Japan's market, etc., in the news, you will see that the facts greatly different from those numbers fed falsely to you, the trusting readers. In addition, I petition you to pray very, very hard that the market can hold for a few more days at least, for security has not been gained in some factors of God's working physical needs. Some heavy transactions need to be consummated, and that requires an open bank. The intent, of course, is to simply wipe out all bank branches and move the assets into one or two massive mother operations. The ones to be closed vary from day to day as the massive shifting is taking place. Most are simply holding from offshore until the currency is adjusted and the banking shakeout happens. Projects will simply have to remain in limbo. I suggest to my people that if you are stable in a given place, stay as stable as you can and let us ride out the winter as best we can. No, I did not forget Nostradamus. I will simply ask reprinting, Dharma, of the information in portion of the release. I am doing exactly that. Printing exactly as received without great comment, you begin to see inside the possibilities, and let's see if you have been hearing your lessons. Quoting, Plan B by N.C. We were definitely right in our release of September the 29th, 1992. Bush was going to restart the Gulf War to raise his rating and get reelected. But the New York Times foiled Bush's plans during the Republican convention by exposing the whole scheme to the world, which caused the head of the United Nations Weapons Inspection Team, who was a Russian, to order his team out of Baghdad and not to participate in Bush's plan. Now Bush is forced to resort to Plan B. Saddam Hussein has already refused to cooperate with the 30 UN inspectors. He has rebuilt all the buildings that were destroyed in the first part of the war and regained the support, popularity, and adoration of his people, thus completely regaining his power and strength. With the buildup of Iran and its alliance with Russia, it is completely impossible for Saddam to disarm. He would be a sitting duck caught with his panties down. And who would protect him? The U.S.?
Well, let's not feel too sorry for him, because Russia is very kindly giving him weapons, too.
By the U.N. continuing their sanctions on his starving people and threatening to end the ceasefire if he does not disarm, Saddam is being forced into a corner in which he will have to take his revenge, which means the bombing of the U.N. building in New York, for that is the seat of the beast, body of a leopard, France, lion's mouth, England, eagle's wings, U.S., bear's feet, Russia, Revelation 13, Daniel 7. That is about to take place.
Doesn't that strike any of you as a little interesting, that the United States would be considered the feet of the bear?
Yeah.
Go on, please.
Here's a quote from Nostradamus. And the fifth angel poured out his vial. No, this is from Revelations. Excuse me. And the fifth angel poured out his vial on the seat of the beast, UN building, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, radiation burns, and repented not of their deeds. That's Revelation 16, 10 and 11. In the film, The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, Prophecies of Nostradamus, 1981, Orson Welles...
It's time for you once to see that again. And anybody who doesn't have access to it, and if you can't get it at the rental place, I'm pretty sure that one can be turned up at the Ecker or somewhere. Maybe not too great quality, but it's time that you all witness that again.
The name of the film is The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, Prophecies of Nostradamus. Orson Welles narrates as Nostradamus also prophesies the destruction of New York, that he names as the new city, of which he says absolutely nothing can keep this city from dying. Welles has Saddam wearing the blue hat as the bad guy because he is from the East and is a Muslim, whereas in reality it is the UN that wears the blue hat, helmets, flag, that is the bad guy that started the war. Because the UN is the bad guy, it gets destroyed. In the film, New York is destroyed at the second launch of the war, that is, Saddam's Revenge, which is the second battle after Desert Storm, mother of all wars. Here's Nostradamus. The sky will burn at 45 degrees. Fire approaches the great new city. Nostradamus names the first nuclear target. The great new city near 45 degrees latitude. Experts agree that that could only mean New York. By fire he will destroy their city. An inhuman, cruel heart, blood will pour, mercy to none. Then will come the great tumult, warfare, on a greater scale than ever before, explosions. There will be a great onslaught. There will be terror, terror, terror. Here's a comment from Hatton. I suggest you also look at where the central headquarters of the Zionist Khazarians, calling themselves Jews, is located. It is in New York City, USA. They have already given the second most occupied Khazarian location a look-see and taste of the awesome power of that bear to the north in South Florida. The third location and media headquarters of the Western Seaboard, Los Angeles, will also feel the sting through nuclear accident, intentional bombardment, or massive earthquake destruction. Back to Nostradamus. Garden of the world, a new city, and the way of the man-made mountains shall be seized on and plunged into ferment. Again, Nostradamus suggests that New York, with its skyscrapers, its man-made mountains, will be a nuclear target. Nothing, the prophet says, will keep the city from dying. A high school student could and has assembled an atomic device from plutonium and uranium, and it could be carried into the UN building in a suitcase and exploded. In Saddam's revenge, it would be a very simple thing for him to accomplish this. The reason he would destroy the UN is that it okayed the Gulf War and put sanctions against Iraq that are still in effect. That were the commands of Dictator Bush. Now that Saddam has played the good old boy until Bush was defeated in the election, he now is refusing to cooperate with the 30 inspectors that have just recently entered Iraq. Bush, at the head of his New World Order, would welcome such a move, like Roosevelt that allowed the Japanese to bomb Pearl Harbor to get America to unite and enter World War II. This situation is critical. Should this scenario take place, and Hatton says, pay attention, Bush could rally all the nations to back his world order, especially the people of this country. He would call for a state of emergency, dismissing Congress, laying aside the Constitution, and keeping the Electoral College from meeting on December 14th. I bet you forgot that you haven't yet elected Clinton. The electorates of New York would either be dead or so badly burned that they could not attend to cast their votes. Clinton is not the elected president of the U.S. until the Electoral College meets and casts their ballots. Then Bush would remain president. Moreover, there are several other tactics which would block the vote and leave the Bushes in full power. The orders are already signed and the troops in place to enforce the martial law. Of course, I remind you that the U.S. has been under martial law since 1933. We can look for this to happen on November the 26th, 1992. Hatton's comment, I didn't say it. N.C. and Nostradamus said it. This season is the season of the harvest. And this is back to Revelations. Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and cast it in the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, without the law of New Jerusalem, the outlaws. And blood came out of the winepress, even into the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. A footnote states that that's 200 miles. That's from Revelation 14, 19 to 20. The great winepress of the wrath of God is one particular city that is destroyed in a diameter of 200 miles of fallout and destruction. At the Last Supper, Jesus told us that the wine is the blood of his new covenant, making this city the winepress of the wrath of God, the city of the covenant, which again is New York City. Out of all of the cities on earth, New York will become a blessed spot from which the call to steadfastness in the covenant and testament of God will go forth to every part of the world. These people are using this holy time and appointed time to attempt to reaffirm their violation in the minds of the people, and thus this is the last straw. So far it seems as though they got away with it, but this destruction of New York, which suits the ends of both Bush's New World Order and Saddam's revenge, and these either killed or badly burned in it, this will send out a strong message of firmness in the covenant to all the world when the people see what happens to violators of God's covenant. Saddam's revenge is also prophesied to occur at the time that the comet that shall run. This is Swift Tuttle. Nostradamus explains, Mabus, that's Saddam, spell it backwards, shall come, and soon after shall die. Of people and beasts shall be a horrible destruction. Then on a sudden the vengeance, Saddam's revenge, shall be seen. Blood, hand, thirst, famine, when the comet shall run. Comet Swift Tuttle is due on December the 12th of this year, only 2 days before the electorate vote. On December 9th, 5 days before the electorate vote, the moon will lose a third of its light during one of the last lunar eclipses of this century, as well as turn to blood red, just as the Bible foretells. All this could take place before the electorate vote so that Bush remains in power. The people of New York must be warned. This release must be published to give them time to make their choice. I have written this to you so that the blood of these people will not be on my hands. N.C. End of quoting. N.C., please do not think that the portions deleted from this indicate lack of truth in circumstances or timing. It is simply that I cannot confuse people who will only see a possible religious cause to deny truth. Space does not permit further discussion worthy of the subject at this time. Thank you for sharing this incredibly important information, and we are pleased to be able to present your gift unto your brothers. Who will see and hear? It is not for us to speculate. Adonai. Confirming a comet's belated return. Science News, Volume 142. Quoting, when Comet Swift Tuttle last visited Tiamat, Nibiru, Marduk? Comet Swift Tuttle last visited the inner solar system. Its icy glow shared the American skies with the flash of Civil War cannons. More than a century later, astronomers using the 1862 used the 1862 sighting to peg the comet's return for about 1981. They waited, but Swift-Tuttle didn't show. Finally, Swift-Tuttle has graced the inner solar system again, albeit a decade later than expected. The comet's recent sighting confirms a 1973 prediction by Brian G. Marsden of the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that Swift-Tuttle might return in 1992. The solar family includes many comets whose round-trip journeys are measured in centuries. However, Swift-Tuttle has set a record as the longest period comet whose return has been predicted and then confirmed by observation. This comet is the source of the debris that rains down upon Earth every summer.